The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are now listening to Lower Road Radio.
Hey, welcome one and all to the number one podcast, winter, spring, and fall. Talking sports for the thrill of it all. Hey, talking life, but we're killing it all. Jason and Dan with the master plan. These are dangerous men with the mic in the hand. Ha! Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right. What? Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right. Yeah. Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right.
What? Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Let's get it.
What?
At Tanagra, when the walls fell, this is Dan Oyes coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How you doing today?
Doing good. You're like really excited.
I am excited. It's I've been drinking green tea all day, and well, I'm drinking green tea right now.
Yeah,
I'm drinking the Pure Leaf brand.
Okay.
It's the not too sweet honey green tea.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I've been drinking almost exclusively unsweetened tea lately.
Yeah.
And so sweet tea, you're a fan of sweet tea.
I like sweet tea.
You brew your own sweet tea, don't you?
In the summertime. I don't drink a lot of sweet tea in the winter. It's a summer drink. It's hot outside. You make your own sweet tea.
Well,
there's two different ways to make sweet tea, by the way.
Okay. Let's do it.
Some people.
We didn't prepare this, but.
They sweeten tea.
Okay.
And there's also sweet tea.
So it's like I brewed some tea and then I added some sugar to it.
Yeah, that's
sweetened
not,
tea.
That's sweetened tea.
That's not sweet tea.
That's not sweet tea.
What's sweet tea?
Sweet tea is when you boil the water and then cook it with the sugar and then you brew your tea in with it.
So it's like boiled sugar water.
Yeah.
And then it's you add sweet and then tea. you put your tea bags in it and let the tea do its thing.
Yeah. It tastes different.
I believe it. So you like sweet tea better?
Sweet tea is better. I mean, that's the proper way to make it.
Right.
If anybody makes tea and then adds sugar later, that's the easy way out.
That's the easy way out.
Because it doesn't take as much work.
Yeah. How about sun tea? What do you feel about sun tea?
Dad always did sun tea.
Dad loves sun tea.
And as a kid, I remember thinking, like, man, he really likes that.
Like, he did like it.
I know, but what I'm saying is he really likes it. Mm. I think I would like that.
Yeah.
And every time I drank it, I'm like, this is disgusting. Why would anybody drink this?
Well, it had no sugar in it.
Well, I think today, I think I would enjoy it.
Yeah, I would.
But it's an acquired taste.
I think Dad liked doing something like in the morning that he was going to be coming home to at the end of the day.
What? I think Dad's sun tea is more of a Saturday mowing the yard all day.
Okay, sure.
And then in the evening, he's sitting down. It's
like he's been watching that thing all day. Just do its thing in the sun.
Yeah.
That's just I think that's a Dad thing in general. Like I would like that.
I actually think I'm going to do that in the summer, this summer.
I'm definitely going to do it. What do you think is different about the sun tea? What do you think makes it?
I don't know. I'm sure that like the ultraviolet rays kills any bacteria. And,
maybe.
You know, I'm sure there's something going on with that.
Right. Yeah. Huh.
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
It's not a cold brew.
Yeah. It's not a cold brew. No.
But it's not
like.
A brew, hot brew.
It's not a hot brew. It's
a sun brew.
It's in the sun.
Sun tea.
On a hot day.
Does anybody know? If anybody knows, they need to just tell us.
Yeah, let us know. I'm very curious.
Yeah.
Hmm. There's got to be something about it because it's like a whole thing. Yeah.
People do that.
Oh, yeah, I got some sun tea.
Or is it just a phrase that they use?
Yeah.
Or is it really sun tea?
I don't know. But I'm going to do that.
First of all, I feel like Shoeless Joe in Arkansas is probably a sun tea guy.
Yeah. Shoeless Joe has like. He like makes sun tea all summer long and then freezes it. You know, he like
for
cans
the winter.
His sun tea or something.
He just strikes me as someone that would make sun tea.
Yeah. If there's anybody that listens to the show that is a sun tea drinker, it's Shoeless Joe.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Uh-huh. And side note, our Arkansas listenership has like quadrupled recently.
Really?
Yeah, because of the Little Rock Baseball Brewers.
Right, yeah. So Brandon Levings, I'm not going to call him by his nickname because it's not a good nickname. Ice B. It's just never... Brandon likes iced tea.
No, what we need to do is we need to have the Baseball Brewers give Brandon a
Brandon
nickname.
Brandon might like Sun Tea because I know he likes iced tea, or he did 20 years ago.
But he liked the Lipton iced tea in a can.
The Lipton iced tea... Yeah, or like the liter bottles of it, you know, the brisk iced tea.
Yeah,
I remember.
Okay.
Brandon, write in and let me know, but it seems like I remember that, you liking that.
When he says write in, not like a email, like a physical letter, write it and send it.
Yeah.
Just write Lower Road Radio, Marion, Ohio.
Marion, Ohio.
Yeah, and then it'll
Happy Street.
We'll get it.
So anyway, I got my not too sweet green tea, and you know, I checked the ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup, no like sucralose, nothing like that. Just honey and actual sugar.
Is there an expiration date on that?
That is a good question.
Because so we stopped at the gas station
there
to
might
buy
be
these
a Best Buy date.
Well, I'm always leery of buying like specialty products at gas stations because I feel like they don't move as quickly.
I don't think this is... you think this is a specialty product?
Listen, people are not... those are not flying off the shelf.
You don't think
like
so?
Like Coke and Mountain Dew, Pepsi products flying off the shelf. That, they might have had to dust that off.
April 23rd, 2018. Ooh, we are coming up on it.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably been sitting there for a year.
Aging like a fine wine.
So what'd you get at the gas station?
So I got this iced tea, and then I got Canada's number one selling potato chip.
Is it labeled on the bag that way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number one flavor in Canada. It's Canada's number one selling potato chip. I've looked
Okay, those are two different things. Number one selling or number one flavor?
You know what? I don't think we should get into semantics, but people in Canada like this chip.
Okay, what is it?
It's all dressed.
Ruffles all dressed.
Ruffles all dressed. That's the flavor.
What does that mean?
It's a plethora of flavors. I'll read you the, I'll
Is
bet,
that a picture
oh my
of...
gosh, on the back it literally says, I'll bet you're wondering what all dressed means.
Okay.
And you just asked, what
I
is
did.
All, I mean, we didn't plan that.
No, that's authentic.
You can't plan this sort of stuff.
No, we actually, it's we never plan anything, really.
As a rule. After all, in America, it just means you're wearing all your clothes.
I don't get it.
I don't know. It seemed like.
Canada's like to run naked?
I don't know. But in Canada, all dressed actually means delicious, ridgy chips that somehow taste salty, savory, and sweet all at the same time. Sounds good, eh? And that's it. There it is. And I like the all dressed chips.
Is it like a barbecue?
That's the thing. I don't know what the flavor is. I gave you one, and I'd like you to taste it.
I haven't tasted it yet.
I like these chips. I saw that they were number one in Canada. I liked Canadians. I like Dana Carvey. I like Mike Myers. I like – there's a lot of Canadians I like.
Joey Votto.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Canadian.
So I figured Joey Votto can't be wrong, and I like these chips.
Okay.
So
here we go.
You take a bite.
Mm. They definitely have a barbecue flavor.
Yeah, but it's not a barbecue chip.
No, but I would classify that as a barbecue chip.
No.
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
It's like a Memphis... Have you had the Memphis barbecue sauce?
But there's like some... Like a cheese flavor in there almost, or...
There really is.
Yeah. There's a lot of different
it's like
flavors
a
happening.
Cheesy Memphis barbecue sauce.
I don't know what it is, but I like it.
It's aight.
It's subtle. I don't like things that are like over... Like, oh, they're coming out with all these specialty potato chips now, like biscuits and gravy, and I don't like all that stuff.
Sometimes you stumble across
like
a good
subtle.
One.
I like subtle. I need subtle flavors on my potato
There's
chips.
One called, like, loaded potato, loaded baked potato chip ruffles. Is delicious.
I'm not a fan. It's too much.
It's really, really good. I like I got the Bugles Hot Buffalo.
Yeah, I was looking at your Bugles. I don't think they're what they used to be. They're more misshapen than I remember them.
I don't think so. Look, like these right here. Look, that's a perfect...
I remember perfect cones. And
First of all, our fingers were smaller back
in the day. Well, that's for sure. But I don't think those are perfect cones like I remember.
I don't think they were ever perfect cones.
Well, they were closer.
The beauty of it, as a kid, you can absolutely put them on all your fingernails.
Yeah, it's exactly... Why else would you... That's why you would get Bugles. You found one you could do it
I found one I could do it with.
Okay.
Have you had one of these yet?
So, no. Well, I've had a Bugle.
Not the hot buffalo. Sorry. You're coughing. It's hot already.
I'm just close to me. I've never had the buffalo flavored. So, like I said, I'm hesitant of super flavored things. You know, like if it was me, I would have just gotten the regular Bugles. I would have been happy with that.
I love buffalo sauce.
I love Bugles. Does it have like a brand of buffalo? You know how sometimes it's like flavored
with Franks.
It just says
hot buffalo flavor.
Or Tabasco. No. Or Louisiana. Just hot buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Try this one.
Uh-huh. Trying it right now. Whoa. It's got some kick.
It does have some kick.
Whoa. I wasn't expecting that much.
Yeah. Just let it sit. Let it rest.
Mm-hmm.
Let it rest on the tongue for a minute.
Yeah.
It really has some kick.
That's pretty hot.
It opens up the sinuses.
I once had like the hottest hot sauce you could buy on Amazon.com on hot wings before.
Like ghost pepper?
Like hotter than that.
Yeah.
And it was just pure pain. You know, it was awful. It wasn't, there was no flavor to it.
Did your sinuses start running?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Absolutely. And then,
here's the thing. I haven't had a cold in a long time. Like not the sinus stuffed, can't breathe type of cold. But I've wanted to for the last 2 years. I haven't had a cold. I've wanted to try a ghost pepper or some super hot next time I have a cold and see if that clears it all up.
So you're literally wanting a cold, but you can't get one.
I can't get one. Hmm. I haven't gotten the flu in 3 or 4 years.
Other people are out there listening to the show wishing they couldn't have a cold, and here you are wishing you could have one.
I mean, sometimes I have a little sniffle, but it's not like the cold. Mm-hmm. I haven't had that in a long time.
Do you have – are you a mix-it-up – it seems to me like you're a mix-it-up gas station food guy rather than a staple gas station food guy.
I like to mix it up.
Yeah?
I don't know. I mean – I just, you know, what am I in the mood for?
Yeah.
Now, when we go to a restaurant, though, I almost always get the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings, I get the same order. We go to Applebee's, I'll get the same order.
What do you get at Applebee's?
I don't know. We don't go to Applebee's.
Okay.
But I get the same type, you know.
Sure.
I'm a chicken guy versus a steak guy in general. Mm-hmm. My wife's always a steak. I'm the chicken. Yeah. The greatest, like, chicken something I've had in a long time was Texas Roadhouse. Has like these chicken tenders that has like a sweet battered on it versus like a crispy.
I wasn't
it's
that hungry,
really
but
good.
I'm getting hungry. Well,
I had Buffalo Wild Wings for lunch yesterday. I saw Nate there.
Really?
Yeah. He stopped there for lunch with his daughter. And
he goes there a lot.
Well, I saw him there. So. And spicy garlic and garlic parmesan split.
They're pretty almost much the same, but
one's like burn your tongue.
The one's super spicy. Yeah. It's like the spicy version of the garlic parmesan.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
That's all right. I had Roosters for the first time the other day.
Not a big fan.
I like it a lot more.
Here's why I don't like it. Jad raves about it.
Oh, friend of the show.
Not really friend of the show. I mean, he's
he might
a
be
friend
of friend
you.
Of me. Yeah. He's my friend.
He used to be my friend.
Jad is the biggest connoisseur of junk food I've ever met.
Absolutely.
He literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, he literally exclusively eats junk food. I've never seen him eat something healthy ever.
I saw him eat salad for the first time.
Yeah, and the last time probably. I spent a lot of time around Jad. I've never seen him eat something healthy.
He grabbed a piece of lettuce.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not even a salad, like a whole fork. I love salad, by the way. He poked it, he grabbed it, one little...
Yeah.
You know, bite out of it, and it was like he's freaking out.
He just couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Well, Jad is a connoisseur of junk foods, and I got these chips with Jad one time. He was super excited to try them of something he'd never had before, some kind of Mexican tortilla, spicy something or other. And he took a bite of it, and I said, "So what do you think?" And he said, literally, first time he's ever tried this thing. And he said, "You know, it's an acquired taste, and I like it." Well, then it's not an acquired taste.
He acquired it very quickly.
Yeah, it took him like literally 2 seconds to acquire this. It's an acquired taste, but I like it.
This is why I can't be friends with Jad. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I go bonkers. I can't stand it.
He says stuff like that a lot. Well, he's my friend, so, you know, I'm not going to throw him under the bus. So we did stop by the gas station
Yeah.
beforehand. And one of the things that I noticed is that I mean, I guess I'm turning it into old man. You know, you talk about like this, like the sun tea thing. Like now that's like an attractive thing. Like I literally just had that thought for the first time. Now I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And the other old man thing that I'm doing is like, I'm complaining about food prices a lot lately. Yes. I just find myself like, why does that cost that much? When I was a kid, like this bag of chips cost like $3. When I was a kid, a bag this size was literally 50 cents.
Maybe a quarter.
And it was probably fuller of chips, had more chips in it.
Absolutely.
So I don't, but I don't think they're jumping or anything.
Who's jumping?
The food prices. Like I think it's just steadily gone up.
Yeah,
I don't think
steadily it's like, gone up, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah, but every once in a while, food prices do jump, and it got me thinking about this.
Friend of the show,
A. Ryan.
Yeah,
told me the other day that they've done this study over the last, I don't know, 25, 30 years, maybe 50 years. I don't know, that every single time that there is a jump in general food cost, there is also an increase, a marketable increase in dog food purchase. So does that mean any other thing? I mean, could that mean anything other than people are eating dog food because they can't afford regular food? Could it mean anything else?
Because food prices are so low, people are buying so much of it and eating it, they give their dogs extra. Well, now I can't give my dog extra food off the table, stuff that...
So he can only dog food for Fido now.
Right, because our food cost is going up.
That's not a bad theory.
That's what I think.
Normally, I'll make an extra piece of steak for, you know, for Boomer or...
Well,
you
here's
know.
The thing. It's like, if, you know, you're eating all your food, and it's like, I got a little bit left. I could put it in the fridge, warm it back up later.
Mm-hmm. Or I could give
if
it
the
to
food
the
cost is high, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Right.
If the food cost is low, I'll just make me more food later. Here, dog.
Give it to the dog.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that might be it.
That's not the theory, apparently, of the article, or at least the theory of A.A. Ron. Aaron told me that basically what it means is people are eating dog food.
Wait, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Have you ever eaten dog food, like a dog biscuit, anything like that?
Not one time. I remember being at Grandma's house on 739.
Yeah.
It was some family event. Everybody's there. Our cousin Ben reached in the dog food bag.
Mm-hmm.
And grabbed a piece of dog food and popped it.
As like a joke? Or he thought it was real food?
He thought it was funny. He liked it. And he did a second piece and a third piece.
Okay.
And it grossed me out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
It's like,
I mean, we were like 7 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting.
It's like horse meat and stuff.
Who knows? It could be anything.
Yeah. So, but let's just say you're in a bunker, you know? And there's no other source of food other than dog food.
My choices are starve or eat dog food.
Yeah, I mean,
I might starve.
Do you grind it up?
This might be interesting. Let's say it this way. What if you're on the Food Network?
Okay.
And you get
right.
The main ingredient is dog food. You have to prepare a meal to serve.
With dried dog food?
Dried dog food.
Is it like an element of the dish or is it the main?
It's an element. So you can use it in whatever capacity you want. Have you ever seen Chopped?
Maybe like breading for my chicken?
I think it's Chopped. Is it Chopped? Iron Chef?
Yeah. But all those shows are the same. Maybe I can grind it up and make it like breading for chicken nuggets?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So any way you desire to cook it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think at some point you're going to have to deep fry it, right? Like, I think you want to deep, because when you deep fry it, it'll, like, infuse, like, the grease, like, good flavor into it. So hopefully it'll hide, like, you don't want to accentuate, you want to completely overwhelm the flavor of dog food, right?
I would think so. I mean, I've never had it. Maybe it's good.
I'm sure it's not. So I think that's what I would do, is somehow I would definitely grind it up. Or something. Like, I don't want to be eating whole pieces of dog food. And I don't want it to be soggy either, right? I don't want it to get wet and soggy.
Well, like, okay, so, like, can you imagine a bowl of dog food cereal?
Like, I pour milk in it and I just...
You're just eating it.
Yeah,
It's soft.
No, yeah, that's grosser to me that if it would get soft.
It'd be like Captain soggy, Crunch, except dog food style.
Yeah, soggy dog food is worse to me than just eating it like a biscuit, you know? Like dry. I grind it up. That's what I do. I pound it or whatever and turn it into like a
powder.
Like a powder.
Food processor.
Yeah.
Make it fine.
And then I get some, I get some chicken strips or something. And I dip the chicken strips in some flour into some egg.
Yeah.
Roll it in the dog food, and in the dog food grind. I have like some salt and other seasonings, you know, to really kind of. And then I roll it up in that, and then I just deep fry it real good.
Okay.
And I think that's probably the best. If I have to use it as an element, that's probably how I would use it.
I saw this thing on Facebook today. This guy took bacon. He cooked the bacon,
mm-hmm.
and then he had a separate mixture of brown sugar and some coffee,
okay,
and molasses and maple syrup, and like he mixed it all together, chopped up the bacon, put it in a food processor, and it was like this bacon jam.
Oh, I think I have seen that.
That he put over top of like a hamburger.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Okay, so what if you could do this bacon jam with the brown sugar mm-hmm. and the maple syrup and the molasses
right.
with the dog food?
You just throw dog food as an element
yeah,
into it.
Because listen, bacon's a pretty powerful taste.
Right, yeah.
And if you've got this bacon jam with uh-huh. the dog food,
it's almost caramelized. Yeah, you could probably mask it
yeah.
well enough during that. Yeah.
You got to have grease and you got to have sugar.
Grease has to be involved.
Grease and sugar.
Yeah.
These are the two things that will mask dog food.
Yeah.
Right?
I think we figured it out.
Do you think, like, say Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You guys always come over to the house.
Uh-huh.
And my wife's a pretty good cook.
Yeah.
She's usually got a dozen dishes.
Uh-huh.
Various things. What if next year I create one dish with dog food?
But you don't tell me.
I don't tell anybody.
Uh-huh. Does anybody notice it?
No. Yeah. First of all, does anybody notice?
I mean, I don't think anybody would be like, this tastes like dog food, right?
Well,
like,
that's pretty insulting.
Somebody might take a bite and be like, ugh, I don't want any more of this. And they'll just kind of discreetly put it in the trash and then not get any more. I mean, I suppose if, like, could Bobby Flay come to your house and make something out of dog food as
Absolutely.
An element that's like better than anything we've ever tasted before? And we're all like, give me more
I
of
think
that.
This is a challenge. Somebody needs to take this up.
Except it's unsanitary to eat dog food.
Well, you don't know this.
No, I mean, we do know it. There's like,
how do we know this?
Well, because it has like worms and stuff, like things that like dogs, like there are things that we do our regular food that dogs, that doesn't have to be done for dog food. And it's like horse meat and other things too. Like,
I don't think all dog food's like that. I think you're like characterizing.
Most dog foods are like that. Yeah. But there are like the high pricey
premium dog food.
Like, did you get like the like super like the pet store?
I mean, that's what we buy for all our dog.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, we buy middle of the road. We don't buy the cheap stuff.
Old Roy, Walmart.
No, we don't do. We do Purina.
Okay.
So we go middle of the road because I talked to a girl, friends with a girl in Montana who works at a vet for, she's worked there for like, you know, 20 years or something like that. And she was telling me that they have had some problems with people with like
cheap dog food.
And it really does hurt the dog and, you know, can cause problems. So we asked her.
We have a tiny dog, which eats almost nothing.
Right.
Like a cup of food a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
we can buy the nice stuff.
Sure you can. Well, I'm glad that if I find out that you did serve dog food, like, it's probably going to be the last time we come over to your house for any meal, just so you know. Like, and I might be okay with it, but, like, my wife definitely wouldn't.
No, she'd be done.
Like, she'd probably be done talking to you.
I think I might joke about it.
I think you should joke about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys, which dish had the dog food?
Like, after we're all like...
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was all so good.
Yeah.
You liked all of it, huh? Did you like all of it?
What did you think those bacon bits? You know they were dog food, right?
I think you should joke about that.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we got some stuff to get into, Jason.
Yeah.
The official football show of Lower Road Radio is Tottenham Hotspur. And since
the official football team.
What did I say?
We're the official football show.
We're the official show.
Of Tottenham Hotspur. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're big Tottenham fans. Go Spurs. Come on, you Spurs. And they, ever since the day we picked them, like, you know, a year ago, it was like a month and a half ago, but ever since we picked them, they've been unbeaten.
Yeah.
I think they've tied twice, but they're unbeaten.
Yeah.
They had an FA Cup game against Rochdale today, which... They should have won. They won like 6-1, I think.
Right.
At one point, it was 1-1. And I think they scored 5 goals in the second half. A guy got a hat trick. But they are just cruising. I think they're right now 4th in the league, which puts them right into the Premier League, which puts them right into the Champions League. But we're hoping and things are looking good. We're hoping that they can jump up a couple levels and at least maybe get to the Manchester United level. They're not obviously going to overtake Man City, but maybe they could overtake Man U and get second place in the league, which would be great.
Oh, yeah.
It's looking like they might.
And I think we deserve all the credit.
Are you? There's no doubt about that. We deserve all the credit. And you have been you watched the game on Sunday morning.
I did. I sent you a picture. Mm-hmm. I was sitting right here in this chair.
Yeah.
And my son and I were sitting here at 7 o'clock in the morning watching it.
Yeah. They were playing... Who were they playing on Sunday morning?
Oh.
It was a Premier League team, but it was Crystal Palace.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And what are they... They beat them 1-0 in the 88th minute. Yes. Harry Kane got a goal.
Yes.
Was it...
They missed like 3 goals late that should have went
was
in.
Was it like a legitimate good goal?
Yeah. Kind of crossed over and he, you know...
Header?
It was a header.
Ah. Yeah. He's good at the headers.
He is good at the headers. He's weird when I watch him because, like, sometimes I look at him and he reminds me of, like, an old Larry Bird.
Right.
Where it's like he's not really running. Mm-hmm. He's running. He's as fast as everybody else out there.
Yeah.
But he looks old and awkward. And
he doesn't seem like a great athlete like some of the other guys.
No, not even close. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to line everybody up and say, you know, start selecting teams, you don't know any of these players.
Right.
He would be one of the last ones you would take.
Dele is like a crazy good athlete on the team.
Yeah.
I said his name right, didn't I?
No, it's Dele.
Dele?
Ali Dele.
Okay. Dele? Really? Like, I'm going to go to the deli and get up and get a cold, you know, like a cold cut sandwich at the deli?
Dele Ali? It's Dele Ali.
Oh, it's Dele Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well,
what's weird is their shirts.
Yeah, I think sometimes the Brazilians and some of the other countries will put their first name on the back of the shirt rather than the last name.
It's confusing.
And that's what's throwing
me. It's Dele Alli.
Anyway, he's legitimately
good. He's 20 years old.
But when you watch him play, it's like, this dude is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Fast.
Yeah, super fast.
Yeah.
But Harry Kane, he's just got a nose for the goal, I guess. I mean.
100 and some goals. Mm-hmm. He's good.
I honestly... Picking Tottenham as our official Premier League football team is one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. I feel very good about it.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a lot of soccer lately. And I have also adopted Borussia Dortmund. I just like them. I don't know why, but I keep on watching them in the Bundesliga. And I feel like I can like a Bundesliga team and a Premier League team.
Okay.
I think that's allowed. And for some reason, I know that they have an American, that Christian Pulisic, that's like 20 years old, and he's like ridiculous for an American to be able, doing what he's doing in the German league. But so I really like Borussia Dortmund, but I feel very good about our Tottenham Hotspur.
There's a story that came out today that said MLS, Major League Soccer here, is going to start targeting younger players, younger talent.
Yeah.
You know, to try to spice up the league and stuff. Mm. But it's not going to be, that's not going to draw people, right?
The only thing, people will watch if they can afford to bring in the best players in the world. If the Harry Kane's in their prime, Christian Bale's, Cristiano Ronaldo's, Lionel Messi's, Neymar, if they could get those guys in their primes, what they do is they get them at the end of their careers.
Right.
You know, like they did with Beckham.
Yeah.
And they've done it with some other players too. Like at the very end of their careers, in their twilight years, they can pay them more than they're willing to pay them over there. And they'll actually play over here and they'll get some American exposure. So they can get that. But if they could get these guys in the prime of their careers, I'm sure people would watch and people would be more interested. But until you can do that, why would I watch that?
Is it all about the dollar?
Yeah, it's all about the money. If
Well, okay, so like if the Canadian Football League stepped up and said, we have no limit on what we can spend. I mean, we have billions of dollars to spend.
And then all of a sudden, the top 50 players in the league went over to Canada to play?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that happen?
I'd watch. Would you watch the...
I don't know.
If it happened, like, let's say the NBA. I think it's a better example for some reason. A separate league started up.
Like okay, make one in China, where it's across the sea.
Okay.
Or make it in England. An English basketball league. Because it would be the equivalent of us...
So the question is then, would the people in England watch it? Because what you're wanting to know is, would the Americans watch it? Or are you wanting to know if people around the world watch it?
I don't even know what I'm thinking now. I mean, I just don't know if it's a draw. How do you draw? If you're Major League Soccer and you're tasked with growing the league, what do you do?
I don't know what their plan is now. And so they might be doing exactly what I would do. But I would say you have to be thinking about it from a long-term solution.
Marketing.
You're not going to wake up tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now and be the most popular sport in America. You have to be thinking 25 years from now, we're going to be the most popular sport in America. So what can we do now so that 25 years from now, we can overtake everything else? You have to be thinking about it like that, like a slow, steady growth.
If that's your goal, mm-hmm. if that's your agenda to mm-hmm. get that happen, you have to pump youth league soccer, right?
Yeah, you have to build up the youth league. You have to make, you have to do whatever you can do to make America become a soccer culture.
And then, like when we were kids, one of the big shows was, what's Ahmad Rashad's?
NBA Inside Stuff.
NBA Inside Stuff. Yeah. We loved that show mm-hmm. every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You need to create shows like that for soccer, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
For Major League Soccer.
Like build soccer fields.
Kid friendly.
Build soccer fields all around the country.
Yes.
You know, like in inner cities if
yes.
you can.
Yes.
You know, like just, that's what you need to do. You need to invest 1,000% in the young soccer culture. And then it would help if we could get a legitimate, like, super-duper superstar that's an American soccer player.
Well, don't you need two? Like a Bird and Magic?
I guess. I mean, but, like, let's just say Cristiano Ronaldo was American.
Yeah.
That would be enough. I mean.
But what you're saying is to play here in America.
He doesn't have to play here in America. It's okay if he plays somewhere else, like on a Madrid or Barcelona or Man United or something like that. If he's the like one of the best two or three soccer players in the world, we'll care about that. We like winners. That's what we like, right?
Yeah.
And so you go in, but what that will do is it will draw, I think, people to like the LeBron James of soccer if he can come from America and then play all around the world and just be amazing. And then when the World Cup comes, like actually be right. effective.
If America wins a World Cup.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, if America won a World Cup,
first of all, you got to qualify for a World
yes,
Cup.
Yes, apparently. Yeah, you have to qualify for the World Cup, which they do not do. So, I don't know. I know that the U.S. Soccer just hired a new president. They elected a new president. And there was some debate over whether that was the right solution or not.
Because there was a German guy that was running it before, right?
Well, you're talking about the coach. So I'm talking about like the president of U.S. soccer.
What is this soccer? Who's this of?
The United States. So he's running the U.S. team, like, you know, the international team. The men's and the women's and the U18 teams and like all the way down to like pushing what we're talking about is pushing youth soccer.
Yeah.
And he's not over at the MLS, but he has to be thinking, we need the MLS to be good. We need the MLS to be viable so that we could be drawing these guys. Like Dele Alli, like let's say tomorrow he decides like, yeah, I'd love to play for the New York Red Bulls. Like that would be amazing. Like right. they need to be a viable option for those people.
Do you know, is there a salary cap in Major League Soccer?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That'd be interesting too. It'd be interesting if a billionaire just said, yeah, I'm going to make soccer good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to turn, you know, the Columbus Crew, you know, mm-hmm. the Seattle Sounders, whatever, into mm-hmm. a $1 billion team.
And it works to have one team that's like that much better than everybody else because you could play. I mean, I guess it's different because you can't play in the Champions League. But like in the German League, you got Bayern Munich, who's substantially better than all the other German teams.
Right.
And it's still a big deal. And great players still go there. And by the way, I saw the other day the rumor that Robert Lewandowski, the lead striker for Bayern Munich, who's like an amazing goal scorer,
yeah.
was linked to Tottenham. Like if we could have Lewandowski and Harry Kane and Dele, like all, I mean, that would be awesome. That would be amazing. So anyway, I would really love it if soccer could take off in America.
Like I know, like we grew up loving the NFL.
Yeah.
And I still like the Browns. I still follow them, but I would not be sad to move on.
I'm like, I'm legitimately just out on football. I mean, I
want to like it.
Mm-hmm.
They're making it hard for me to like it.
I can't help but like Ohio State football. Like it's in my blood.
I agree.
It's like
I even think if college football as a whole is like that.
Even if I wanted to stop liking like and caring about Ohio State football, the moment it's on, I just care about it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that'll ever stop. I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like in my DNA.
Yeah,
but the NFL. I mean, honestly, I'm not being sarcastic. At all. If you told me, Dan, you never get to watch another minute of an NFL game for the rest of your life, I'm like, fine. I'm okay with that.
Here's this is one of the things, and we vowed on the show not to get political.
Oh, dear.
I'm not going to get political, but guys like Pop right now are praising LeBron for everything he's doing off the court.
Yeah.
And it's all this political nonsense stuff. This is the reason why we turn to sports, because we don't want to be political.
You know who was never political?
Who?
Michael Jordan. Do you ever remember him like standing up for anything?
No. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Yeah. I don't know what Larry Bird's political stances were.
I don't want to know what Larry Bird's.
I don't care. Yeah. That's not why you exist in my life.
Right.
You exist in my life to distract me from those things.
That's right.
We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah. It just drives me insane.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to move on. Mm-hmm. If soccer could step up to the table, have a good product. The international is huge. If you can compete on an international level, everything changes.
If we have a legitimate U.S. soccer team that's like a top 10 team in the world, that's like Spain, Italy, Germany, England, Brazil,
five.
America,
yeah.
Argentina, like if we're in the same breath as all of those countries, it's amazing. But we're like way, way down.
30th?
We're like around 30th, yeah.
Yeah, which is insane. There are countries that have 3 million people in their whole country that beat America.
Well, it's like
300 million.
It's like the crazy thing about the Winter Olympics. Norway won the Winter Olympics this year. They got 39 medals. And I think maybe Germany was second with like 37 or 33, something like that. Norway has 5 million people in it.
That's not even the size of Columbus, Ohio.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
A country of 5 million people won the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Got more medals
than anybody. Think in the state of Ohio, there's like 20 million.
Yeah.
Or maybe 25 million.
New York City is 8 million people.
Okay, so it's New York City.
It's 3 million less than New York City.
Wait, how many people?
5 million people.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. It's just the culture. It's just the way it is. But we're not a soccer culture. And it's going to be a while before we are.
I mean, it could be generations, plural.
What if LeBron James, when he retires, and he apparently, I mean, I've seen him like at Premier League games and things like that. What if he decides, you know what? Instead of like spending the rest of my life in basketball, I'm going to pivot. No pun intended.
Well, no, listen.
And I'm going to buy the whatever, Columbus Crew or whatever, and I want to make them the premier team.
You've just stumbled onto something here, because if he bought a Major League Soccer team for $50 million.
Yeah.
Like, you hear about Jerry Jones buying the Dallas Cowboys for like $50 million back in the 70s, and it's worth like $3 or $4 billion today.
Right.
If you want to magnify your money, LeBron James, you buy a Major League Soccer team for $50 million.
That'd be pretty cool.
Whatever it is.
And you just 10, 15 wonder, years too, down,
it'd
if
be a
like,
billion-dollar franchise.
He might, with his star power, he might be able to draw some of these guys. That, like, hey, listen, the money's about the same. I can't give you that much more, but
listen,
like, you're playing for LeBron James.
Nike. Gatorade.
Yeah.
These people will come to you because I'm here.
Yeah.
And you will have advertising dollars. You'll have marketing dollars. And
everybody knows who LeBron James is. And
that absolutely.
I was watching, I was looking at the Tottenham Instagram the other day, and they had a video of them like at their gym, like doing warm-ups and exercising. There were like a bunch of guys on bikes and stuff like that. And they pinned over, and there were like five guys at a basketball hoop playing knockout.
Okay.
From Tottenham.
Yeah.
It's like they'd never touched a basketball before. It was hilarious.
Really?
A guy missed, I mean, there were two guys. They missed like seven free throws. I mean, not free throws, layups in a row.
Oh my
gosh.
Like
he was just standing right under the basket, just kept on throwing it up and kept on missing it and then grabbing it and kept on. And there were two guys standing under the basket, world-class athletes.
Yeah.
Like just amazingly.
Just can't make a layup.
If they were allowed to kick it with their foot, they would have gotten it in by now.
Yeah.
And they can't even make a layup. It was hilarious.
One time you and I at the Y tried to kick the ball into the hoop.
Yeah.
We spent 3 hours doing it and couldn't do it.
We said, we're not going to leave until one of us kicks it into the hoop.
3 hours later, it's like, we really got to go.
Yeah, right. But they could do it on the first try.
You think on their first try?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, these guys are amazing.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. That was like a weird thing. Like, you guys are amazing, like incredibly gifted athletes.
With their feet.
With their feet. Yeah, not with their hands. So I think that's the way you do it. I think LeBron James, maybe LeBron James starts like a trend where it's like, you know, I don't know, pick your, you know, other athlete, like Mike Trout when he retires. Like, that like becomes like a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Like Brad Pitt says, you know what? I want to own one of these teams. Whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, all like okay, it becomes this, like a thing.
This is how you fix soccer.
Yeah.
you get star power into the ownership.
Yeah. Make it popular.
Make it popular.
And then they're pushing it on their Instagram accounts everywhere. And their everything.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh, I like LeBron's team. And I like, yeah.
Yes. That's how you do it.
I think actually you could do that.
You're talking billions of dollars of revenue being shifted from other areas.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I don't know what the numbers are, but, like, let's say, like, how many people watch the Super Bowl?
Like half of America. It's 150 million.
Like, yeah. So, like, 150 million people watch the Super Bowl. When Barcelona plays Real Madrid, just a regular game, they call it El Clasico, it's not even, like, necessarily for anything.
Yeah.
Like 300 million people watch it.
Right.
It's the biggest sport in the world.
Right.
And if you could get a large chunk of that over in America, forget about it. It would be huge.
Yeah.
It would be absolutely huge. And obviously, America is just, you know, rich with athletes. We have athletes more than we know what to do
except with. Except we can't win the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
We won curling.
Yeah, we did win the men's curling. And our main guy looks like Mario. Here we go. Woohoo. So, anyway, so that's that. You know, the winter. Should we talk about the Winter Olympics right now?
It's over.
I mean,
we're not going to talk about it again for 2 years.
Okay. Well, the only thing I wanted to say was I have been watching a lot of the Winter Olympics. My favorite events is biathlon and the cross country skiing. I don't know, for some reason that's super compelling to me. I love it.
I love curling.
And you love curling, and we won the gold medal in curling for the men. I did stumble across an event the other day that was called Nordic Combined. I was like, that's weird. What is this? And so I watched it. It is a combination. It's like the decathlon in the Summer Olympics.
Okay.
Except it's only two events instead of 10.
Yeah.
And it's long jump skiing and cross country skiing.
Wait, what's the sport where they bike, swim, and run?
That is a pentathlon.
Triathlon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a triathlon.
It's like a, I guess, but okay, it's
what
not
is
like,
it again?
It's long jump skiing.
Wait, one, what is it?
Nordic combined.
And what do they combine?
Long jump skiing.
What's long jump skiing?
It's like that big slope that they go way down and then they fly in the air flying squirrel, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
They see how far they can go.
Yeah.
It's that and then cross-country skiing. So the way they do it is everybody gets like four jumps or five jumps or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you take your best jump or your best score because it's also somehow there's judges involved in it too.
Yeah.
So the guy that gets first place after the jumping starts first on the cross country race. And the cross country race is like, I don't know, like 15 kilometers or something like that. So he starts first. The next guy, based upon how far his score, like the next guy started 5 seconds
it's
later.
It's staggered.
The next guy, and it's all based upon, so the worst
score from the long jump.
Yeah, the worst long jump started like 6 minutes after you know, he had no chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless he was a really good cross country skier.
Yeah, no, because literally those, like they got lapped before they even started.
Oh gosh.
And he literally had no chance. Because that's one of the things I was looking at. I was thinking, well, like I wonder how far you could come back. And it looks about the furthest you could come back was like maybe because the race isn't so long that allows you. Like,
if it was like 100 miles.
Yeah, then it'd be totally different. But
is there an equivalent like 100 mile something?
Well, there's like a super, I don't think it's 100 miles, but there's like a 30 plus mile cross country race.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But anyway, I thought it was compelling. It was interesting to me. But like, I understand how the biathlon evolves, right? Guys are outside cross country skiing and hunting at the same time. And then, hey, let's make this a sport. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
How these two, I mean, seemingly not very connected sports got connected. I'll never know. It doesn't make sense. Like, how do those things get connected? They don't seem like
skis. The ski jump ramp that these guys had to practice on was like 15 miles away from their hometown. So these guys had a cross country ski to the jump, and then they had a jump.
So so it starts like this: like two guys,
like you and I, go to the Y. But the Y is not close. We have to travel 15 miles to get to the Y, and we don't have a car.
Right.
So we gotta walk there, ride our bikes there.
So there are two guys in Norway, right? And they cross-country ski every single day to the ski jump, right?
Yes.
And then on the way home, they always do this thing, let's race home.
Right.
But at one point they said, well,
the other guy always wins.
The other guy's like, yeah, but I'm a better ski jumper than you are. And he's like, yeah, but you're not that much better than a ski jumper. Well, okay. Yeah. But how about this? How about for every foot that right. I go past
it's
you,
a minute.
I get an extra minute head start, yeah. you know, because, it, you know, I'm better at both. Well, right. You know, and so
that's how it started.
That's obviously how it started. We just right? solved it.
Yeah.
Man, that feels good.
So the moment the Olympics are over, mm-hmm. like we're in another show hole at this point.
Massive show hole. I've been in a show hole for a while now.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the last
time. We do random movies. Mm-hmm. Like we watch a Will Smith Bright movie. And,
yeah.
you know, once again, thanks Cousin Chris for suggesting
thanks a lot.
This family-friendly movie.
He tried to make up for it on Facebook. You know,
it didn't work.
He said his redemption was a PG-13 Pirates of the Caribbean movie. He said yeah. that's his new Netflix suggestion of the week.
I watched it. It's
I mean, it's a Pirates
of the Caribbean. It's another Pirates of the Caribbean.
If you've seen one, you've seen
it. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
I mean, it's a movie based upon a ride. Did you know that? Like, the Pirates of the Caribbean or the Caribbean was yeah. it was a ride at Disney World.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything. All it was yeah. is like
nobody even goes to this ride. We should make a movie about it, and then this yeah, ride right. would be like,
should we redo this ride or just make a movie based on the ride? Make a movie based.
That's easier.
Put Johnny Depp in it. It'll be all right. I mean, how good can a movie be that's based off of a ride?
I liked the first one.
Did you?
The rest of them, eh.
They were whatever. Just imitations of the last one.
It was the same thing done over and over. Same skit, same gag, same mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
So we...
You're in a show hole.
Yeah, we're in a show hole. We start flipping through Netflix. And there's two different things that we were debating about.
Before you get to this, yeah. Do you find yourself flipping a lot?
Oh, I flip all the time.
And does it drive your wife nuts? It's driving my wife crazy. She hates the flipping. But I
flip a lot.
But here's the thing, too. Like, the flipping has been good for me. Like, I've discovered things. And I'll tell her, like, we started watching the show because I found it.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes you got to flip and you got to find a show. But I feel like I read this whole study, right?
Yeah.
They were like, in a busy fair area or something like that, you know? And they had a booth on one side of the fair, and they had a booth on the other side of the fair where there's like hundreds of people going through every day.
Right.
And on one booth, they had they were both selling candy bars or giving away candy bars. On one booth, they had like 50 different candy bars. And they said, choose one candy bar and you can have it, you know. So choose one of these 50 and then you can have it.
Right.
And the other booth had like three candy bars. Right?
Three choices
to choose from. And they said, choose one of these candy bars and you can have it. And so they do it and they walk down. But then they catch them after they're walking away and after they eat it. Hey, come here. We got a question for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you with your choice? The people that chose out of the three versus yeah. the people that chose out of the 50 were consistently way happier with their choice than the people that chose from the 50 candy bars.
Okay.
So we're living in a culture today. We're living in a, like, because when we grew up,
you didn't have a lot of choices.
It was NBC, CBS, ABC.
That's it.
Fox.
No, Fox was it when we were little
yeah,
kids?
We were
Fox
little
was
kids.
Even a thing.
PBS.
PBS, yeah.
PBS. So ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS.
Yeah.
And that was it. But somehow we found stuff to watch all the time. It's like, yeah. Oh, I love The Price is Right. I would never watch The Price is Right now.
Yeah, Matlock.
Right, yeah. Is that Matlock? Do, do,
like do, do, do. I don't know.
That's Seinfeld. Yeah, we like legitimately, like as like 7 year olds, watched like Perry Mason, you know? Like, but I was happy with it. I was like, oh, cool, Perry Mason's on.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
A lot of like late night Abbott and Costello stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
still love it.
The Bruce Lee movies. We've talked
Saturday
about
Saturday morning
before.
Three Stooges. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now there are just so many choices. Like each one of my kids has their own Netflix profile.
Yeah. And this is what screws us up.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Netflix does their thing.
Yeah.
But that rubbing on your pants is bothering me. And I'm sure it's coming through over the
microphone.
I just
have chips all over me. Yeah. So I was just getting rid of it.
I was like, doing this.
I was like, why are you? That's a weird motion to make. Whatever.
Stop rubbing your pants.
I thought you were explaining your Netflix profiles. You know, they have all these Netflix profiles.
No, but all these Netflix profiles. So my daughter watches a lot of anime stuff.
Uh-huh.
My kids watch a lot of like Pokemon / like Dragon Ball Z. I've never seen any of that stuff. Right. I don't know. So, and my wife watches a lot of like turn of the century Victorian, like PBS type of stuff, you mm-hmm. know. And then my UFOs, Bigfoot, you know, all that stuff.
Standard stuff.
Yeah, so your standard mm-hmm. American dad stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you scroll through like recommended things for us, it's insanity.
Well, you don't each have your own profile?
No, we do, but we're not always on it. So like we just turn on the Xbox and by default, they just click the first one on there, which is mine.
Yeah. Well, my kids always pick their own profile because they like their profile.
I wish all my kids picked their, you know.
Yeah.
But we're constantly just on the primary profile.
So your suggested Netflix suggestions
it's
are just
insane.
A total crapshoot.
And, you know, on the Xbox, they have the percentage of you might like this.
Right.
It's like 95%. Mm-hmm. It means nothing.
Right.
Not to me, because I didn't rate any of these shows.
Yeah.
My kids have rated most of them, and most of them are garbage.
Yeah.
It's so anyways, we're in a show hole.
You're in a show hole. So you're searching.
We're searching
for a new show.
We had one of two choices, and this is what we landed on. So this
you
is
landed
our Netflix...
on two choices.
Yes, okay. I'm only going to give you one of them because my other one's going to be our Netflix suggestion of the week after this one.
Aight.
So my Netflix suggestion of the week is The Frankenstein Chronicles,
starring Boromir. Right.
Yes. Other people might know him as Ned Stark.
Okay.
From Game of Thrones. It's a Netflix original series. There's two seasons. Each season has six episodes. So we're on season one, episode five.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the first four episodes, it's been... The first two episodes are a little bit slower. Episode three, episode four, they start to ramp up a little bit. So you got to give it a little bit of time, but I think it's worth it.
And you like it.
I like it. I mean, it's a solid B, B-plus movie. But we... it's once again, it's a turn of the century. Well, it's probably closer to 1800s in England.
Yeah.
And so they have that deep, thick British accent. And it's like the poor class. You know, it's not upper class British accent.
Right.
So you have a hard time understanding them half the time. But I love it. Okay. I love everything about it. And so it's a twist. It's a fictional, you know, loosely based on Frankenstein and Mary Shelley and, you know. And
there's like a running joke that actor, Sean, what's his name?
Bean,
dies in everything he's in. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's like a lot of Sean Bean death scenes. If you think of like Boromir, I guess Ned Stark died. Yeah. I never seen the show. But like there, if you just, I don't know, YouTube it or whatever, like he dies in basically like 95% of the movies then he dies rather famously. So I don't know what that says about him as a person, but there it is. So your Netflix suggestion of the week is
The Frankenstein Chronicles.
The Frankenstein Chronicles.
Yes.
Okay.
Solid BB plus.
Solid BB plus. My Netflix suggestion of the week is a documentary on Netflix called Meru. It's about these mountain climbers that tried to climb this mountain, Meru, that nobody had ever climbed before. I love good mountain climbing documentaries. They're super dramatic. They're like, you don't know what's going to happen. Somebody's probably going to die or
Wait. Say this to him again. You love mountain climbing documentaries.
I love mountain climbing documentaries.
How many mountain climbing documentaries?
I've probably seen seven.
How many are there?
There, maybe seven. Maybe I've seen them all. I don't know. I just know.
Like that's a genre. I love watching mountain climbing documentaries.
I think it is. Like there's this. I watched this one that was amazing. It was all about speed climbing that cliff in Yosemite. What's the name of that cliff? El Capitan.
Okay.
It's like how there was a time when nobody thought anybody would ever climb it.
Right.
And then somebody did climb it for the first time.
It's like the 4-minute mile.
And it was like, it blew your mind, right? And then it was like the first time anybody free climbed it, which was like without any ropes or anything. Right. And it was like the evolution of that. And now people are like sprinting up this thing that the first person that climbed up it, it took them like I think it took them like 3 weeks to climb up. They were literally camping on the side of it, you know? So
now they're doing like 35 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. And they're just flying up this mountain. No,
it's crazy.
No ropes. Yeah. They're not tying themselves off at all. Just chalk on their fingers. They're nuts.
I just love the idea. It's like, I love mountain climbing
documentaries. I do. I love mountain climbing documentaries. They're amazing. There's really good Netflix ones. I mean, there's really good Mount Everest ones.
Okay.
There's like three really good Mount Everest ones.
Okay.
There's this one. There's an El Capitan one.
Does Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone count as
one?
No,
it doesn't. I mean,
because that's the only one I've seen.
It's not a documentary. It's just a movie, you know? But, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't like that.
That's the only mountain climbing
bad Anything guy is seen. John Lithgow, I think, in that movie.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I remember there was a scene where he like dropped a backpack of a kid or something. Like the kid.
There's a lot of climbing ropes.
I think it starts off like his family dies or something.
There's a spot where he's like hanging off a cliff. Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Well, I kind of feel like cliffhanger should have ended in a way. They're like, oh, what's going to happen? Right? Like, don't you think so?
I don't remember watching it.
They shouldn't have had. They should definitely not have had closure at the end of cliffhanger.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger within itself.
Right?
But cliffhanger two, cliffhanger three.
No, but I don't think you do a cliffhanger two. I just think it's the ultimate
cliffhanger.
Yes. You just do cliffhanger.
And the movie ends with him literally hanging
on a cliff.
It's a cliffhanger.
Go to
cut to black.
Yeah, cut to black. Credits roll. It's it. We're out.
Cliffhanger.
John Lithgow, he's an underrated bad guy.
Cliffhanger two coming soon.
No, I just
to be continued.
No, that's it.
Just nothing. Just cut to black.
No, just cut to black. That's the movie. Never mention it again.
Don't even roll credits.
Don't even roll credits. Just bring the people in to clean up the popcorn immediately. I feel like they missed an opportunity there. But that's not a documentary.
That would be the ultimate cliffhanger.
But I do love Mountain. I'm sorry. Okay. I just
What's
love
this?
Mountain. It's called Meru. And
Meru.
M E R U. Or they might say
one word. Is it one word?
Yeah.
M E R U. Two syllables.
Sure. You want to break it down even more?
Well, when dad, like, is it Maru? Mm. Like, dad would, like, overemphasize each syllable.
Yeah. I think it's Maru is what it is.
Maru.
I think it's Maru. Yeah.
Not Maru.
I think it's Meru. I think it's Maru. Anyway, we might be breaking this down
too
much.
We was going to the store.
How much? Yes.
Maru.
Maru. Meru. Maru. Marie. Mara. Maru.
Can you spell it?
M-E-R-U.
Look
it up.
M-E-R-U.
Look it up on
Netflix. No, I've got it. M-E-R-U.
It's really good.
I'll watch it.
It's super good.
I love the idea of watching mountain documentary climbing movies.
Yeah. I wish they were all – I wish that there was a streaming service just for mountain climbing documentaries. I would
$3 a month. How much would you pay for that?
For a streaming service that was – how many am I going to get?
It always had new –
Are they quality? Because I've seen a couple bad mountain climbing documentaries, and those aren't fun.
Okay, so I love Bigfoot documentaries.
Uh-huh.
I've also seen a lot of really, really good ones, a lot of really, really bad
Yeah, but
ones.
The bad ones have like a humor to them that kind of like makes them kind of like fun.
I've seen some really bad ones.
Really?
Yeah, they're okay. Not even funny.
Well, if I felt like they were quality. Like, they don't all have to be amazing, but if they were quality documentaries.
Okay, so what if you could just, like, anything mountain-related? It's so like Bigfoot. I relate Bigfoot to mountains.
Yeah.
Woods,
yeah.
Upper, you know, Pacific
mountain
Northwest.
Mountain tube. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Whitewater rafting.
Gotcha.
Like, anything that would take place on a mountain.
I'm saying camping, the name of the, Survivor the Man. Website is Mountain Tube, like YouTube. But
Oh, you Mountain know. Tube. I gotcha. Yeah.
Or Mountain Flicks. Maybe that's better.
Mount Flix.
Anyway.
Somebody work on that.
If it was a exclusively mountain documentary
channel. Streaming service.
Yeah, I'd probably pay like $10 a year, you know?
Okay.
For it.
Like 75 cents a month.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love it if they continue. I would watch and
Would you pay a dollar a week?
No.
For one new show once a week. You can stream it whenever you want.
So, like, if I pay a dollar a week,
they release a new one every single week.
I know a new decent documentary is going to come out every week. I'd probably do that.
It's $52 a year. Someone's missing out on some great money here.
They just need to climb more mountains and film them. And then dramatically put them
Would
together.
Anybody pay to watch us climb a mountain?
I would. We couldn't, though.
We could climb a mountain.
No.
Not like Everest. No. I mean, like, just a normal mountain in Montana?
Yeah, we give us 6 months, you know, to prepare.
What's 6 months?
Air gets thin up there, man. Have you ever been up in really thin air?
No.
It's – listen, you're not
– I mean, I've been on a plane.
I was not prepared for it. It's not like that. I was not prepared for what thin air does to you. I've been up, like, driven up the pass in Montana.
Yeah.
And you get out of the car and walk around. Not you're not walking up a hill. You're not walking. You're just walking 20 feet.
And you're winded.
And you're like, yes, extremely winded. Like, why and this was like when I did like construction every day, and I was like in decent shape anyway, as far as like just walking around. You know, I wasn't like running a marathon, but like I was working hard all day every day. And you know, I walk 20 feet over to the cliff, and I'm like.
And you're sure this wasn't a mental thing? It's like, oh, that's really thin. No,
because I wasn't thinking about it. Like it occurred to me, like, why am I so tired? And Erica said, yeah, it's because the air is thin up here, you know. So, it's weird. So no, we would have to absolutely prepare for it. There's no doubt about it. But
okay.
But yeah, we could do it, and somebody should pay us. I mean, that should be a thing that somebody says, hey, I'm going to grab these two idiots. And, you know, I'm going to train them.
I mean, how many mountains are in the world? There's 100 mountains. There's like, 1,000 mountains, right?
Yeah, there's like 1,325
mountains. That's 1,000 episodes, 1,000 movies. Mm-hmm.
Start us off on Mount McKinley. It's in America. It
seems like a pretty big mountain.
Let's start us off on
a bunny hill.
Mount Rushmore.
Climb Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, like right up Roosevelt's nose. Speaking of Mount Rushmore.
Well, what's his name? They found like the Declaration of Independence like in the base of it or something, right?
Nicolas Cage did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's a national treasure underneath Mount Rushmore.
And as always, in every episode, we want to advertise the Facebook page Nicolas Cage's face on things. Because they post something about once a week that I see. But it's always tremendous.
Totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's honestly one of the best things about Facebook.
It's like the only thing stopping me from deleting my Facebook page right now. Just those weekly Nicolas Cage's face on things.
I need to make sure I'm subscribed to that because I haven't seen one recently.
Well, they don't put them out a ton.
But it's quality when it happens.
But when it comes out, you're like, oh, thank you. You've been working on this. They don't put out crap.
I'm going to sleep good tonight.
All right. So speaking of Netflix, speaking of Mount Rushmore,
yes.
Speaking of Frankenstein,
yes.
We decided tonight, and we're going to close with this. This is going to be
the
last thing we do before we wrap up the show. We're going to do a definitive Mount Rushmore of movie monsters. Because Frankenstein is a movie monster. Now, first of all, Jason, how are we going to define a monster? Like, King Kong is a giant gorilla.
Yes.
Is he a monster?
Yes. I would classify monster as anything... I was gonna say out of the ordinary.
Okay.
Not natural.
Okay.
Not necessarily supernatural, not like a spiritual being, but like not a natural setting. You can't go to the zoo and see this.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is like crazy.
And I'm not saying he belongs on the list, but I'm just trying to figure this out. Does Jaws belong on the list?
Jaws is a man-eating monster, in my opinion.
So he is a monster.
I would say so.
Because he's a shark.
It's not normal.
But he's like way bigger and...
Yeah.
And
he's a man-eater.
Yeah.
Most sharks really are not man-eaters.
Okay. All right, there it is.
He's preying on the people of Massachusetts.
Preying on them.
Right? Is it Massachusetts? New Hampshire? Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Where's Jaws?
I don't think it's either of those places, but I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Maine, maybe? I'm not sure. All right, so that being said, Jason, so anything unnatural that's like...
Like you can't go to the zoo and see it. That's what I think.
Okay, but it's got to be... Like it can't be...
What about Hannibal?
He's just a human.
He's a monster.
That's an evil. Yeah, you're a monster. But that's like different. I mean, to me, that's not.
Okay, so not like a person.
Not like an evil. Like Hitler. Yeah, Hitler was a monster, but not for the sake of our definition. Then we're just going to be like bad guys.
So we're doing fictional monsters.
Fictional.
That are non-human.
Non-human, fictional monsters. Yes. Like Frankenstein would count.
Well, Frankenstein's the scientist.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's the monster of Frankenstein. So, I'm trying to think if we need any other qualifiers. Like robots don't count.
Oh, come on.
No, robots not
it's
a monster.
It's a non-human.
It's got to be living. Like it has to bleed.
Okay. If it bleeds, you can kill it.
Yeah. Because a robot, we could do a Mount Rushmore of menacing robots, you know, like evil robots, you know, like, or just a Mount Rushmore of robots, I think.
Like Short Circuit.
Like R2-D2 belongs.
Johnny, high five, high five, Johnny.
Movie does not hold up.
I haven't seen it recently.
For a couple of reasons. First of all, you think you're going to watch it with your kids and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
A lot more cussing than you remember. Like a lot more. I started watching it with my kids.
Yeah.
And I was like geez, whoa. What did cousin Chris suggest this or something?
You know, no, I just watched like,
kids, actually, we're not watching this.
I just watched Neverending Story with my kids.
Yeah, I saw they posted it. Is on Netflix?
Vudu.
Oh, yeah, it's on our Vudu account.
My Vudu account.
I say our Vudu account.
Okay, so this is I'm going to write this down. Non-human.
Non-human.
Non-robot.
Non-robot.
Biological beast.
Sure. There it is. That's a good way to put it. All right. Yeah, that's what it is. So
non-human, non-robot, biological beast.
And as always, it's a Mount Rushmore. So we're picking top four. And these aren't like the four monsters that you don't want to see like in a dark alley.
They're
right?
Iconic.
They're iconic, exactly. Like, for instance, I think the George Washington, the no-brainer, the absolute gotta-have-it-up-there is Godzilla, right?
Godzilla.
Godzilla belongs absolutely. On this list.
Yeah,
I mean he's a slam dunk.
I think that Abraham Lincoln is King Kong.
I kind of think the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean Washington and Lincoln is Godzilla and King Kong.
Right,
right.
Agreed. Let's do it.
Godzilla and King Kong.
Okay, now we're about ready to have a discussion. Like these last two spots, there are going to be a lot of different monsters that are up for the spot. Like. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, okay? I'd love for the Balrog to be on the thing that kills kind of initially that giant thing that kills Gandalf, like on the pass, you know.
Well,
shall not pass. A Balrog is...
No. It does not belong on the list.
I think
Saruman?
Saruman?
The Eye?
Sauron. Yeah.
I'm not a huge Lord of the Rings guy, by the way.
Well, I am. But I think Balrog's a way cooler monster than Sauron.
Like the personification of evil?
Yeah.
He wears a ring and is like the ultimate evil beast?
Okay. All right. I'm just saying.
I'm not up for Lord of the Rings.
All right. He's not on the list.
No.
Okay. I'm willing to say that he's not. Okay, I wanted to mention him because I think he's the coolest.
I don't even think it's noteworthy.
Okay. How about Gilman, the creature from the Black Lagoon?
I like that a lot.
I know. I like it too.
And I remember watching it as a little kid.
I remember watching it too. And like being legitimately scared.
Like if I watch it now, it's probably Mystery Science Theater,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So listen, I'm gonna write that one down, but I'm not willing to put it on the list.
What we're going to do now is we're going to make a list. We're making a list and then we're going to choose.
Okay.
So Gilman, he's the creature from the Black Lagoon. You're not a Doctor Who person, are you?
No.
Okay. So we won't even do that.
I feel like Jaws needs honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mentions, but I don't want him on.
Why?
I don't want him on the Mount Rushmore. You can put him on the list.
Why?
Well, you can try. Listen, I believe that after we come up with this list, there are going to be at least two that are considerably.
I just feel like Jaws, you're talking iconic monsters.
What's the best monster from Star Wars? I think it's that thing that Luke fights at the in Jabba the Hutt's palace. The Rancor.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I mean, does Jabba the Hutt count as a monster? I mean...
He's non-human, non-robot, biological beast.
Yeah. Like Alien, Predator, these two...
You can kill it. Oh, yeah. See, yeah.
Okay, so put Alien, Predator on the list.
Are those two separate things?
Yeah, they're two separate things. Yeah.
You remember the movie... Series of movies, Tremors.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember liking Tremors.
Do you remember watching it?
And
what happened to me?
No.
I don't remember who it was, but our family was watching Tremors, which is like, I would never do that.
I would watch it with my kids.
My kids, those nightmares.
I'd watch Tremors with my kids.
Somebody, I don't remember who it was. I was laying on my stomach.
Throw a pillow at you?
No, I was laying on my stomach, and it was like a super dramatic part, and somebody grabbed my leg, and it freaked me out. Like, absolutely freaked me out.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think Tremors, I don't think it's going to make it.
There's like five Tremors
But I think
movies.
It belongs on the list.
Right.
Like, for classic movie monsters fans, they're going to want Mothra on the list. Are you familiar with Mothra?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, I think Mothra... I want to give him honorable mentions, but I don't think he belongs on the list.
Well, there's a whole series of, you know, Japanese
monster movies. Are there any Star Trek things? Like, Do Klingons belong on the list? I don't know.
He's non-human, yeah. Non-robot biological beast.
How about some other classics like The Mummy, Dracula?
Okay. I'm thinking Dracula.
Okay.
I think that is almost a lock.
Okay. What about The Mummy?
I feel like there's a lot of generic mummies.
Well, I
Dracula
feel like...
Dracula is like a solid person. He's okay. A dude.
All right.
Mummy, I mean, what? King Tut? King
Khufu? I don't know. I just feel like...
There's a thousand mummies.
I just feel like The Mummy... Well, The Mummy is a really, really old movie that they redid with Brendan Fraser, and then they redid it again with Tom Cruise. But that's like a... I mean, that's a reoccurring movie franchise, The Mummy.
No, I get it.
Okay.
I just feel like it's potentially multiple mummies.
Okay, so what about like werewolf? I mean, can we just say werewolf? Wolf,
a generic werewolf?
There's not like one iconic werewolf, but I mean, other than...
Wolfman, like... What's Abbott Costello meet werewolf? Yeah.
I think Wolfman? You just say werewolf.
Okay.
What was the Michael J. Fox movie?
Teen Wolf.
I think, he's the iconic. Okay, so I think
Gremlins?
Werewolf. I'm not a Gremlins guy. I mean, to me.
Harrison loves Gremlins.
Well, Harrison's not here right now.
Any of the Cloverfield monsters?
I don't think that's a big enough franchise yet.
I feel like
maybe
we don't,
in 25 years.
We don't know enough.
We don't know enough about it. Maybe in 25 years.
They just hint at it just enough.
Exactly. Okay.
The Fly?
I mean, you could put them on the list. I don't see him making it.
Did you see Pacific Rim?
I hated that movie.
We liked that movie. It's a good movie. They're making a second one.
I did not like it, but that's fine. What else you got? I mean, does Satan belong on this list?
As in the devil? The Blob?
Oh, The Blob belongs on the list. Yes, absolutely.
Blob.
Okay, how about Medusa?
Is that the snakehead?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, giving some love to the women out there. You know what I mean? Women can be monsters too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they can.
I'm not going to say, a woman can't be a monster. The Thing. I don't know about that. I don't care about that. Alien. You said Alien, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we're missing some like big ones.
I don't know. I mean, The Blob was good.
The Blob is...
What's that movie, Monsters vs. Aliens? I think they hit the big ones.
Monsters vs. Aliens?
That Pixar or DreamWorks movie or whatever.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know.
The 50-foot-tall woman.
Yeah.
And The Blob and... I don't know. I think we've got a good list. I can't imagine... I
mean, these are the most iconic.
Yeah.
Right?
The Invisible Man?
How are you going to put him on Mount Rushmore?
You can make him...
Just
he
three
can just
dudes.
Say he's the fifth. Just make it a three-person Mount Rushmore.
A three-person Mount Rushmore, and the fourth is the Invisible Man.
Okay. I like that. Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm looking at a list now, but this is difficult to... what else? Phantom of the Opera doesn't belong on this list.
No.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
No.
Frankenstein's monster, the Wolfman is. I think the Wolfman is what they're calling.
Yeah, that's what I said. The Wolfman.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, what about Mothman? Like the Mothman prophecies.
Yeah, I mean you could put him on a list, but it doesn't really. I mean, it doesn't.
It's like a real thing.
I mean, I understand. Well, then it doesn't. It says it has to be fictional, according to.
No, we said non-human, non-robot, biological beast.
Okay.
Should it be fictional, non-human, non-robot?
I think it has to be fictional. And if you think the Mothman is a real person, then...
Well, if he's a person, he's a beast.
I don't know what he is.
Is Bigfoot?
Well, according to... If it's fiction, according to you, no.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that's it, right? I think that's it, yeah.
That's the list.
Okay. So run the list that we've got.
Invisible Man.
Okay.
Medusa.
Let's just start crossing some off. Say, thanks for being on the list, but Thanks, but no thanks. There's some that we can cross off.
Well, for the sake of comedy, I don't want to cross off the Invisible Man just yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I think it'd be funny, a three-man Mount Rushmore with the fourth guy being the Invisible Man.
Okay.
Medusa.
It was pretty iconic as a monster goes.
It would look good up on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. I think snakes Medusa, I think she belongs still on the
okay,
list.
Okay, so we're not going to eliminate her. I'm the Blob.
I'd like the Blob to still be up there. I think the Blob is
that would be a
very
difficult
classic.
Thing to...
I mean, I think too. I could do that. I don't think you even have to hire an artist for that one.
Random sticks of dynamite, please.
Yeah.
Wolfman.
But I feel like he's still... I mean,
Okay. The Mummy. Let's eliminate the Mummy.
Okay, let's eliminate the Mummy.
Alien. Let's eliminate Alien as a whole. Because of the two Alien Predator, I'm keeping Predator.
Okay, that's fine.
It's one of the two at that point.
All right.
Okay, Gilman.
I say Gilman belongs on this list. So. Okay. I think Gilman is solid.
Jaws, you want to cross off Jaws?
Yes, I do
want to cross off Jaws. I think Jaws would
I'm
be
glad
worthy.
Jaws is on the list.
I think he's a worthy candidate.
I think he's a good backup, but I don't think...
Tremors.
We can cross Tremors off.
Okay. Mothra.
For all the classic people out there that are like Frank... Or for like a Godzilla, Mothra... King Kong, like that's a thing.
Yeah.
But for me,
I feel like we've already got that segment with King Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah, I feel like if Mothra really connected with people, they'd be making Mothra movies like they always are making.
First
Godzilla
of all, I don't
movies.
Know why they're not making Mothra movies right now.
I kind of feel like they should.
Dracula. Pretty iconic.
It's pretty iconic. I think he belongs on the list.
Okay. So we crossed off half.
So now what we do is we just put one up against another and we start eliminating.
Okay. Almost tournament style.
Yeah.
Okay. Invisible Man versus Mandizo. Not Mandisa.
Mandisa, come on.
Medusa.
Medusa. Invisible Man versus Medusa. Medusa. Mandisa. I say Medusa, but Mandisa. I feel like Medusa belongs.
Okay, so cross off Invisible Man.
Officially cross off the Invisible Man.
The Blob and Wolfman.
The Blob?
And I think Wolfman's more iconic than the Blob.
Whew. Yeah, I think so. I have fond memories of the Blob.
I do too.
But
in fact, I want to go watch some of these. I want to watch again.
Yeah,
Creature of the Black Lagoon. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Blob. I'm going to watch that.
I like those movies.
Gilman versus Predator.
Whew, man. So what are our other two on the list? King Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah.
You said Gilman versus who? Predator.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to get rid of it.
Okay, listen. We'll table that. Let's table that. That's a draw.
Yeah.
Okay, Dracula versus Medusa.
Dracula. I say Medusa.
Really?
Medusa's like very old, like Greek mythology.
Let's eliminate where Wolfman.
Okay, we can eliminate Wolfman. I'm okay with that.
Okay, so we're down to four. One, two, three, four.
We have four. We can take two of these four.
Two of the four.
All right.
Okay.
Who we got?
Medusa.
By the way, in 1960, there was a movie called The Leech Woman. So, you know, I don't even know what that entails, but it sounds very scary. All right.
I don't want to watch
I think
it.
It's every woman, right? She leeches off of.
We got Medusa. We got Gilman, Predator, and Dracula. Okay, listen.
Yes.
Predator is a modern day take. The rest of these are ancient.
Right. And we don't, for the sake of. Kind of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Diversity on our Mount Rushmore, right? I think you do want a more... Is there another modern one that we're forgetting that belongs... I mean, I know Alien...
Jaws would be more current.
But
Tremors would be more current. But it's not iconic.
Okay, wait a minute. Just stop for a second, okay?
Did we miss something?
Well, I just wonder if Stranger Things belongs in this discussion.
It's too new.
It's so new.
Like, you don't see Obama or Trump on Mount Rushmore. I'm not saying one or the other deserves to be there.
We're starting this discussion.
Mount Rushmore is very
old. I hear
what
you're saying.
It's very iconic. I mean, we're talking Washington, Roosevelt, Lincoln. I mean, these are iconic. This is not just flavor of the month. This is not flavor of the month.
Predator's been around long enough.
I feel like it's iconic, but it's also new.
Okay. All right. I just love Stranger Things. That's all.
It's too new.
It's a great monster.
We need more time.
Okay. But maybe in time.
Yes, maybe in time. Decide. There might be a whole different Mount Rushmore years from now.
Okay.
Of monsters.
All right. So if it's in between Predator and who?
We have four.
Okay.
Medusa, Gilman, Predator, and Dracula.
The thing about Medusa is she predates all of them by like 1,000 years. And I think that's kind of cool. Oh, like Grendel from, like I almost feel like we should go back and put Grendel on from, oh shoot, what's the thing I'm thinking of? It's like Beowulf. The Grendel is the monster in Beowulf that Beowulf, well, like I feel like get rid of Medusa. Can you go back to like
Clash of the Titans? And
yeah, well Medusa's from the Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
So, I feel like somebody from like the Greek gods or like the Beowulf era belongs on this list. Like we've got the Godzilla and the King Kong there.
Like who is Poseidon's arch enemy?
Or like Zeus's arch enemy. Okay, let me look that up.
That's Greek mythology. I mean that's almost a mythology Mount Rushmore.
Zeus arch enemy. Who are the enemies of Zeus? Typhon, Ares, Pluto, Kronos, Titans. None of these things mean anything to me. But I know Grendel. Like Grendel from Beowulf is okay, like.
I'm not willing to put that on there.
Okay, but
I'm not cultured enough to know about this.
Are you? I mean, it's not. It's fairly common. It's not.
I'm aware of the reference, and that's it.
Okay.
The rest of these I'm more familiar with.
Medusa, Gilman, Predator.
Dracula.
Dracula.
I love all of these.
Man, that is a...
Listen, okay, like, is it worth
taking... Like, if you just showed up tomorrow and you just said, like, that's the Mount Rushmore, I could be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, but those four.
You got to leave off Godzilla and King Kong.
Of course, we're not going to do that. We're not... It's ridiculous. But I'm just saying, those four are strong enough on their own.
They could live as the Mount Rushmore.
This is the hardest Mount Rushmore we've ever done. I'm also afraid that these monsters are going to find out that I left them off. And they're going to come to my house.
Have some crazy dreams tonight.
I am going to have some crazy dreams tonight. Oh, my gosh. This is difficult. Well,
I don't want to coin flip it.
I will. No. What are we, monsters?
I feel like you're going to come up with a ridiculous solution to this.
No, I don't want to do. I just want cold logic. All right. That's all.
Okay. Listen.
Yes.
I feel like we need to cross generation this a little bit.
Okay.
If we did that, now we're talking Medusa and Predator as the next two.
Which leaves off Gilman.
And Dracula.
And Dracula.
Now, I feel like Dracula is okay. Huge.
Let's just be real with one another.
Okay, Gilman. Right, listen, yeah. I feel like I could leave Gilman off.
I feel like you and I are partial to Gilman because we watched The Creature from the Black Lagoon a lot. I think that just might be...
I don't
know,
a lot.
I mean, I don't know. Felt like I watched it a lot. I think that might be more of a you and I
nostalgic
thing.
Nostalgic.
Than a, like, in the zeitgeist of culture.
Creature of the Black...
I know, it's super cool. Come on. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I think...
Okay. I'm willing to cross it off just because I think nostalgia.
This is what this is. You know what this is? This is like you're the coach of your kids' team, but it's not like the 4 and 5 year olds. They're like you're coaching like their 8th or 9th grade basketball team, and you have to logically say my kid is not one of the best 5, and in crunch time he's not going to play. Like I want him to. He's my kid, right? I love him, but
he might make the basket, but
he's not one of the top 5. He's not like for the sake of the team. Okay, so Gilman's take Gilman off. It hurts to take Gilman off, but I think it's the right decision.
So we're down to 3.
Okay, so Medusa, Predator, Dracula.
Okay, so
I want to suck your blood. I mean, that just to have that.
I feel like Dracula and Medusa would be super iconic.
Yes.
Predator is not super iconic.
No, not as much. But you would pull in a younger audience.
You pull in a younger audience, and it's a current.
Although King Kong. Godzilla, Dracula.
I mean, those are coming out again.
Movies are still... Yeah. I mean, they're always going to be releasing those movies. So, I want Medusa on there. I think she's going to look cool. Okay. And I feel like I want something from way, way long ago. And so, I think Medusa belongs on the list.
Okay, so we got King Kong, Godzilla, Medusa.
And then now we're in between Dracula and Predator.
Dracula and Predator. Okay, I have a fond appreciation for Predator.
Yeah.
But I feel like Dracula belongs on... I can't leave Dracula off that list.
I'm just looking at the mountain now in my brain, and I just think Predator looks cooler than...
Yeah, but he looks a lot like Medusa.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like the...
Right, so you're
he's got the dreadlocks. Predator has
for the sake of like...
Dracula looks...
He's really going to stick out. Like it's like
fangs and the...
Yeah, like a smoother look. Yes. Everything else has texture on it. Yeah. He's going to stick out because he's a smooth... And I think he is... As iconic. I mean,
there's a lot of Dracula movies where he's super slick looking, mm-hmm. like very, you know, he's a different type of monster.
Definitely the easiest to kill on this list. All you need Dracula? Is yeah, silver just... bullet, right? Isn't that what kills Dracula? Aren't I right about that?
Yeah, or a stake maybe.
Garlic.
I think those repel him. I don't know if it kills him.
Okay.
Silver bullet kills a wolfman.
Dracula. Is that what it is? I thought a silver bullet killed Dracula.
I thought it was a wooden stake to the heart killed Dracula.
Maybe that's what it is.
And I think a silver bullet kills the wolfman.
I'm going to ask Siri right now.
Okay.
How do you kill Dracula?
Okay.
Why did Siri not talk to me? How do you kill Dracula?
Is your volume turned off?
Okay. I found this on the web for how do you kill Dracula.
Oh, that's the worst. When she just tells you to go to a website. I wanted an actual, like...
An answer.
An answer from her. She doesn't want to tell me. But she did show me...
I feel like Siri has under-promised.
I agree. She did send me to a link that says 3 ways to kill Dracula.
Okay, though. What are they?
Cutting off its head. Okay. In some genres, the mouth is then stuffed with garlic to prevent the vampire from coming back.
Okay.
Attack it with other objects. There are certain objects like bullets or wooden stakes that can be driven into the heart of the chest that will kill it. Wooden stake.
Yeah.
There's something about the wood from a particular tree.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Wooden stakes. Spray the vampire with holy water. Bring the vampire into sunlight. I think there are a lot of ways to bother and kill Dracula. I think he's fairly weak when it comes to...
He's fairly weak. Vampires are...
I'm not like a big vampire guy. So this is difficult for me because I'm like, oh, I love vampire. I don't like vampire movies.
We like vampire stuff.
I don't. But I'm willing to say that he belongs. I'm okay to say that he belongs on this list.
I think we need to put him on the
list. It's in between him and Predator.
Which... If I'm going to watch a Predator movie or a Dracula movie, I'm watching a Predator movie.
Absolutely. I think we pull in the younger generation and we just pick Predator.
You're going to leave Dracula off the list?
We bite the silver bullet and we pick Predator. That's what I want to pick is Predator. Okay. If you want to overrule me and say Dracula, I'm okay with that. Because I feel like I forced Medusa on the list. I feel like Medusa's mine.
Okay, listen. You forced Medusa. I'm going to force Dracula.
That's fine.
Okay. I can't leave... Listen, this is not a pro-Predator thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, this is not an anti-Predator thing. Yeah. This is a pro-Dracula mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
I think it's so strong that he belongs on it.
Okay. So, the definitive Mount Rushmore of movie monsters is?
Well, no, first of all, it's fictional, non-human, non-robot, biological beast.
Okay. But for the sake of...
It's movie monster.
It's movie monsters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla.
Okay.
King Kong.
Okay.
Medusa.
Okay.
Dracula.
I'm happy with this.
It's solid.
I love this.
It doesn't get any better than that.
I don't think so.
Someone's going to send us a message somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're going to miss out a huge
Yeah, we forgot one. Something.
That's something like, sitting out there, yeah.
Well, write into the show. Find us on Facebook. That's usually the best way to contact us. You can message us on Facebook, and we'll read your thing on the show. And let us know what we missed or what belongs on the list. Well, the good news is that 23 years ago today, Billy Madison came out, Jason. So go home and watch all the Adam Sandler movies. You know what we should do next time? The Mount Rushmore of Adam Sandler movies. In fact, we could do it right now. Billy Madison.
Happy Gilmore.
We're done.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, this is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.
Tell me when you want to stay, when you want to go. And if the feeling's right, would you let me know?
I know it's not right. I lose myself in bright lights.
And in this moment, I am nothing but alone.
Nothing but alone.
And in this moment, I have nothing left to show.
In this dream, I sense such heights. But sleepless nights, can I make this world my stage?
say what I think I know. Tell me what you're gonna say, or would you let me go?
I know it's not right. I lose myself in bright lights.
And in this moment I am nothing but alone.
Nothing but alone.
But in this moment I can feel that I am wrong.
In this dream I sense such heights. But sleepless nights cannot make this world my stage.
Opposite tradition, opposite division.